You're listening to SBS News.
Hi, I just wanted to jump on here and introduce myself to Dan Andrews and Martin Foley. You have both made a decision that is greatly affecting not only myself, but so many women around Victoria.
It was an emotional social media post directed at Victorian Premier Dan Andrews and his Health Minister Martin Foley, but heard around the country. 45-year-old Melanie Swiekanek is one of many Melbourne women pinning their last hopes of conceiving a child on IVF. The Victorian government had announced the suspension of a number of elective surgeries and procedures for 3 months amid increasing pressure from COVID-19 cases. IVF was one of them.
My name is Melanie and I'm currently going through IVF process. And I really just wanted to let you know that this is something that not I elected to do and not one other person who is going through IVF or who has been through IVF or who's just about to start IVF has elected to do. This is something we are doing as our only opportunity to have a child.
The ban came into effect after Victoria called a Code Brown emergency. This is a recognised code across the country used by health services under an external emergency to alleviate the pressures on hospitals. Following Victoria's announcement, the federal government revealed it would activate the private hospitals agreement created when the pandemic took hold in 2020. The agreement requires private hospitals to provide assistance, including equipment, staff or other resources, to the public health sector when called upon. Most IVF services are run through the private sector.
I think it's fair to say that health systems up and down the eastern seaboard are under a great deal of pressure. Partially that's because of the number of COVID patients that are being hospitalised.
That's Michael Rolfe, the CEO of the Australian Private Hospitals Association. He explains that the caseload isn't the only reason for the unprecedented pressure on the system.
Another big part of it is the unavailability of staff. And I know from the private hospital's perspective, I'm being told that on any given day, somewhere between 10 and 20% of their staff are unavailable, either because they've got COVID or they're isolating because they're a close contact. And obviously that's across the board, nursing staff, doctors, administrative staff, cleaners, catering staff. So it makes it quite a difficult proposition to run a hospital when you know you're going to be down 10 to 20% of your staff, but you don't know which ones are going to be unavailable on any given day.
Professor Catherine Bennett is Deakin University's Chair in Epidemiology. She says Omicron is creating new challenges for the healthcare system.
The incredibly high number of cases in the community that aren't actually translating to worryingly high numbers of people in hospital for the infection. We've dealt with these numbers before, but it's taking more people to hospital with the infection just because the community rates are so high. But we're combining that with this incredible challenge with staff outages. We've got staff who have been infected either at work or not at work. We're trying to manage the hospital situation where you've got a major infection control issue. Whatever the reason someone is in the hospital, we've now got many more numbers of people who are infectious as patients in the hospital and need to be there.
The decision to include IVF services as part of the elective procedure suspension attracted large criticism from both parties and medical professionals. As external pressure mounted, the IVF pause was reviewed and Premier Daniel Andrews announced a change.
I'm very pleased that the public health team, the Chief Health Officer, has reviewed his advice and the Minister's accepted that and been able to make a new decision under the new Act to reinstate IVF services, and that is a very good outcome. I apologise for any distress, for any concern.
Professor Catherine Bennett says it's very likely that more than political pressure contributed to the reversal.
While all elective procedures, you know, often have people who are waiting and anxious and in pain sometimes and limited in their capacity until they have the surgery, this is one of those ones where it can be a once in a lifetime opportunity to take part in the IVF program, and the concern is that if they miss that in the window of opportunity, that would cost those couples the opportunity completely.
It's exposed an underlying issue within the health system around the meaning of elective surgery and the assumed urgency of procedures that fall under the definition. Michael Roth says the terminology needs to change.
I think the issue is that there's a common misconception that elective surgery is optional, and that's not the case. The definition of elective surgery means anything that's not emergency surgery. So if you have somebody coming in with major trauma from a car crash or an accident, or somebody who's got acute appendicitis, obviously that can't be postponed and that surgery has to take place. Elective really means anything that can be planned or deferred for 24 hours. So there's still a lot of urgent surgery that is included under the term elective. So maybe we need to move away from the term elective and talk about urgency categories.
It's not all doom and gloom for Victoria, though. Professor Bennett is hopeful that following the redeployment of resources, the system should begin to see an alleviation of pressure in the coming weeks.
As we reach the peak, we start to see those numbers stabilise. It will keep the pressure on the hospitals for a few weeks. But as we start to see less people in the community with the virus, less virus being taken in, less workers being impacted, that we should see this turnaround.
Tina Quinn, SBS News.